just kidding.
Because if the double back, whoops.
I just started the recording.
That's it just says meeting. Oh, well, I get a pop-up saying I have to be consenting to be recorded. Okay, I guess that's. Oh, they cool. Actually have a pop-up that I have to click.
Cool, that's a new update. That's a new feature. Okay. Yeah. You were saying you started to say something.
That if the double vaxxed people don't have to have social distancing,
right?
Then why didn't you just put down all of the cushions and let people sort it out themselves?
Because they don't fit exactly into each bench. It was like a jigsaw puzzle to figure out where they're supposed to be. Scott wasn't there, so I didn't know how.
No. He figured. Oh no, because they used to fit.
No, which is why we know that they do eventually fit. We have the sum total, the correct sum total, but it's part of a game. So like, there's something called a turtle puzzle. My daughter was explaining this to me many years ago. A turtle puzzle on the back, they all look the same, and you have to figure out how the pieces come together to make the picture on the front. So this is like one big turtle puzzle. They all look, all the pieces look the same. And then you have to figure out which, because not all the benches are the same size, right? So the right combination of the right things. So when I left, we were most of the way there. But the problem was.
Right, you got the women's section, you got the men's section, you got the smaller.
Right, so the men, when I left, the men's section was done. Problem is, I think that most of the men's section is done with some of the women's section seats. So we're going to get it, and then we have to undo it all again just to fit those gray pieces so that they're like aerator cushions so that every time you get up, the cushion doesn't fall on the floor. But I'm going to let the DAF people handle that during Shoppers tomorrow. That's going to be our fun. Okay. we'll get there eventually. We'll get there. Hi, Dina. I hope you're doing okay, and I hope you consent to being recorded. We are underway. So I've got three questions for tonight. I have to be very honest. I have a personal bias towards one. But let's start. The parasha speaks about a group who got punished because they had a desire for meat. I look around today at our restaurants, homes, kiddushes, etc., and think that the desire for meat was quite understated. Is it mutter to indulge sometimes? And if not, why do our kosher organizations certify foods that are clearly indulgence? And why do our yeshivas make such lavish meals? And is there a halachic problem with any of this? That's question number one. Question number two. May secrets be revealed for the public good? It's a straight up, question. Or is there a limitation to that? And question number three, with all of the recent anti-Semitic attacks, I was wondering if it's mutter for somebody who's challenged to hide his or her Judaism. So we've got hiding Judaism. We've got revealing secrets, which is, I guess, the opposite of hiding Judaism. And then we have the concept of fressing on meat, right? Which, of course, I was going to say for next week since something rhymes with basar. So, but as Dr. Wenger pointed out tonight, that he's planning on trying to make sure that he can make watermelon with onion and garlic and figure out the great Indian delicacies of this.
And cucumbers and leeks.
That's it. All together. If you mix it in one big dish, that'll make a wonderful salad. I can't wait to find out how that works.
It's a savory salad.
It's a savory salad. Yeah, very good. Any preferences? One, two, or three? Three is the anti-Semitic question. Can I hide my Judaism? Two is, are we allowed to reveal secrets to the public good? And then question number one, pressing on meat. Any preferences?
I like either one or three.
Okay. Doc?
Makes no difference.
Dina? So let's start with three and we'll see where we go from there, because that's actually, I have a personal bias to number three because it actually quite relevant today. And unfortunately, it's very unfortunate. There's a story in the paper yesterday about two guys who were sitting down eating at a bagel shop on the streets of Manhattan. And somebody saw them and overheard them speaking Hebrew. So they ran and got a mob, right? The mob started to taunt, and then a couple of the guys threw the first punch. Well, they picked on two people who are instructors in Krav Maga, which is a little bit of a mistake. So these two guys beat the stuffing out of the 30 guys in the mob. And the police showed up, and you know, the police were watching this whole thing, refused to make any arrests, except eventually one of the guys wound up going to the police station, like one of the Krav Maga guys went. It was really a sad story, and he was obviously released. It was a ridiculous episode. The question had come up, you know, unfortunately, when you see a difficulty like this situation, and certainly it's been an issue in Europe and in other places, you wonder sometimes, is it just easy if somebody asks you, are you Jewish? Maybe you should be able to say no. Or on the other hand, is that one of those things? That's a Harig Bal Yavor. Any thoughts?
Well, there are two separate issues here.
Explain.
Issue number one, if somebody asks you, are you Jewish? Okay. We're not talking about in Nazi Germany where they're looking to put and kill Jewish people on the spot.
That's no, they're thing. Looking to bash their teeth in country, and possibly kill them on the spot. Says,
all right, but if somebody says you're Jewish, then you can't hide it. But the other issue is when you're in a different country and you're a minority, like Jews are all over the world, okay? Now, where you have a mitzvah, like if you have a four-cornered garment, it needs fringes. But it doesn't say you have to wear it and show it to everybody in the world. In other words, it's like this is a mitzvah only if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, but you're purposely putting on a four-cornered garment so you can hang out the tzitzis to show people around them in their face, I'm Jewish and this is what I wear.
So that's
a different issue.
Okay, so since you see them as two different issues, how would you look at each one?
And the other thing is, do you have to wear a kippah all the time? Or you could wear, when you go outside, you could wear just a baseball cap or a hat or something like that.
Or a Panama Jack straw hat, especially after May 15th. Yeah,
exactly.
Right? Maybe that...
Is it you have to put the people around you in your face, hey, I'm Jewish and I'm... And there's nothing wrong with it. I agree with the JDL and all that, and all that. But those are two different issues.
Okay. So how are you breaking them? I understand, but how would you paskin in each of those issues?
That I ask a rabbi to paskin.
Okay. So how would you theoretically? You made a differentiation. How would you theoretically break apart without using the word psak? In the first case, if somebody walks up to you and says, are you Jewish, and they want to kill you, what do you say? Mutter or
not, sir? If you see that they want to kill you on the spot, you say, you probably would say no. Or if they're going to kill you anyway, then you say yes.
Okay, but
they're going to kill you anyway.
But wearing your kippah out or wearing your tzitzis, what would you say?
If it's a dangerous situation.
Then you don't put it into danger's face.
Okay. So let's take a look at the Shaila. It sounds pretty solid. Certainly what I remember growing up. But there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi's in Avodah Zarah and Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, where the Yerushalmi notes that when given a challenge, a woman has a right to say that she can hide herself and say she's not Jewish. But a man may not do so. And the Rosh in the Bavli in Avodah Zarah in Perek Beis, again, Sif Dalid. So the Rosh notes, he quotes the Yerushalmi, and he notes that when a man is involved in a situation, it's straight up Kira. It's considered, straight up heresy. If somebody walks up and asks you, are you Jewish? And you say no, right? So they're going to bring you into Avodah Zarah, straight up denial of religion, and it's a real problem, and it's a Harig Bal Yavor. He does say that for a woman, it might not lead to...
For a man, but not for a woman?
Correct. That's the Yerushalmi, right? So the Rosh says, why? What's the difference? So, Devorah, I was waiting for you to ask that question, right? The difference is... So the Yerushalmi is assuming that what will it lead you to do? Women, what's the reason why a non-Jew wants to associate with a woman? It's for Gilui Arayus, not for religion. I guess that's the way it was back then. Religion was more of a man's issue, public religion and public display of religion. And home basis was the woman's issues, right? So if no one walked up, a man wouldn't go up to a woman and say, are you Jewish, for the sole purpose of trying to get her to convert, right? If anything, in ancient tradition, it was the opposite. The women would go out and get the men to convert. We find that not next week's Parsha, but in Parsha's Balak, right? And the beginning of Parsha's Pinchas, where the Benos Moab went and enticed the Jewish men. So that was the assumption that the Gemara assumed in the Yushalmi and Avodah Zarah. However, and certainly the Rush does bring that down. He says, for a man, it's a problem of kfira. For a woman, though, it probably won't lead to kfira. Women are much stronger in their amunah and their faith. Just seems to be that way. But, and he says, so for a female, the bigger issue may be gilui arayos, but she'll be able to protect herself. Still, notwithstanding, the Rush paskins against the Yerushalmi, and he says, it's usher for a man to say he's not Jewish. It's usher for a woman for her to say she's not Jewish, right? That seems the way things move. But the Vilna Gaon in Yoridea Simon Kuf Nun Zion Sivkat and Chaf says that he strongly disagrees with that Rush. And he says it's a machlokas as to whether one can save his life by hiding his Jewishness. And the Truma Sadeshen, one of the early, one of the Rishonim, certainly in Simon Kuf Tzadi Zion, seems to be a very strong earlier resource that the Gra depends on. So again, we see this early machlokas as to whether a person can hide his Judaism. Certainly, we also see a dichotomy between men and women. Now, when the Shulchan Aruch paskins this issue, and it's fascinating to see, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Simen Kuf Nun Zion Sif Beis, he puts in a very interesting clause. Listen to the Shulchan Aruch for a minute. Asur li Adam lomar shehu oved kochavim kidei shelo yargu. Like the good doc said, you're not allowed to say that you're a non-Jew, right? That you're an idolater just to be saved from being killed. Avol, says the Shulchan Aruch, however, and listen to this carefully, im kidei shelo yakiruhu shehu Yehudi, if you're not trying to say I'm a guy, right? What are you doing? You're acting different than a Jewish person might act, right? So that you shouldn't be recognized as a Jew. So, like, for instance, Mishana Malbusho, Bishas Hagzera. He changes his clothing, because if you walk around in Jewish clothing, what happens? There's a governmental ruling, you deserve to get killed. So the Shulchan Aruch says, in that situation, for you to change the clothing, mutter, kiven she'eno omer shehu obed kochavim. As long as you're not actively saying, and I think this is similar to what you were hinting to, Doc. When I say I am an idol worshiper, that's a problem. If I just don't look so Jewish, what's that? Nothing. That's the Mechaber. The Ramah says, the Ramah adds in, he says, Vafilu lovesh kalayim, even if it means you're going to have to wear shatness. Ve'afal gav to asur lomar shu ovei kochavim, and even though you're not allowed to say you're an idol worshiper, mikol makom yachol lomar lahem loshon dimishtama litrei anpin. The Ramah says you're allowed to say when they ask you, do you believe or are you a believer? Now they may assume believers mean in the New Testament, and you say, sure, I'm a believer, right? And they say, are you born again? And you say, yeah, totally, every single day. Now they're going to assume that means you're a born again Christian. But you mean to say every single day, Elokai, ata verasa, ata yitzarta, ata nafachta bi, that every single day we're born. Shechzarta binish masi bechemla rabba emunasecha. Right? Well, every single day we get up and we thank God for giving us brand new birth. So the Ramah says, even that is acceptable. Even though the goy, va'ovde kochabi, avinu shuomer shuobe kochabi, hu yechabin ledavar acher. Even though you mean to say one thing and the goy is implying something else, this would be a 100% okay. And avechenim yuchal lahatosam, and if you can trick them, shem sovim shuobi kochavim shari, right? That would be mutter. So again, we have the mechaber solution. What's the mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch solution? He says you can change your clothing. But to state that you're a non-Jew, that's a halachic difficulty, because that's kfira, that's denial of God. The Ramah goes one step further. He says you can state something, as long as you don't state something clearly straight out, right? You know, you pull a good old Popeye the Sailor Man. Are you? Do you believe? Right? Do you believe? And you get up and say, yes, sir, I believe. I am what I am, what I am. Right? So then, yes. You know, even though they think you're saying I believe in their religion, right? And you're saying something else, that's a totally different ballgame. And so the Shulchan Aruch says that sees that it's usher to say that you are an idol worshiper to save you from death, though. Say something. But I don't understand. Why is that a problem? All you're doing is saying you're not serving Avodah Zarah. So what's the problem? It's not one of the big three, right? What are the big three? Idolatry, adultery, and murder, right? This is none of the above, and it's still pikuach nefesh.
Well, it depends. It depends. If it's a time of persecution and they're making you an example, then even if it's just a shoelace, you have to hold
right.
the line.
So first of all, yes, you have to be concerned about chas hagzera. Very good. That's an important issue over there. The Ran in the Durham goes one step further. The Ran in the Durham on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis notes that if a person is just merely trying to save himself or herself from the Jewish tax, one would be allowed to go ahead and do so. So if you can do it just to get out of the taxes, certainly you should be able to do it here. So the first thing you have to know is that's very nice, but the Rush disagrees with the Ran. And he says, you can't create a false impression. And Pnei Yosef understands, if you're wearing a dress similar to their dress, if you're wearing an outfit similar to their outfit, you're not trying to convert. You're just trying to appear similar in dress out of respect. And they get the wrong impression. That's on their head. That's not on yours. But technically speaking, to state I am a idol worshiper, that's where the trouble starts. It's interesting to note that while you find this, well, if you notice who we've been quoting until now, we've been hanging ourselves from the Rush. We talked about a Rush. We talked about Iran, right? You know, the Iran comes from Italy. The Rush was in the German countries. Guess which countries we have not focused on? Sephardic countries, right? What's the difference between Ashkenazic and Sephardic countries? Not including Spain.
Persecution.
In what way?
Sephardic were persecuted, but they were not necessarily killed and forced to convert.
Well, let's backtrack. Which country? Which religions were dominant in those two different countries? In those two different
regions? Muslim versus Christian.
Right. So it's interesting to note the Rambam does not mention this halacha about appearing to be an idol worshiper at all, which to me is not a major surprise. Why? Because the Rambam was living primarily where? Islamic countries. He doesn't consider Islam a full-fledged Avodah Zarah, right? And so he didn't see the dress or seeing anything as Avodah Zarah. Because the primary way you demonstrated that you were a Muslim was you did Muslim Avodah, right? So in his mind, he doesn't bring this issue up. Most of the people who are dealing with this have to be in the Christian countries where this was a little bit more prevalent. Now, that's not 100% accurate because indeed the Mechaber brings it up, but it's interesting. If you look at the Rambam, it doesn't happen. Let's fast forward in history all the way up to the time of the Holocaust. So, you know, during the Holocaust, when there were major, major shilas that had to be answered, and most of the rabbinic Jews were not able to reach their vast libraries, there was one holy Jew who, a big Talmud Chacham, later wound up on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, who was answering a tremendous number of shilas because he was put by the Nazis into Prague to create the museum for the lost religion known as Judaism. And so while the Nazis had him working, trying to curate this museum, right, he spent the time answering the shilas that were coming to him. His name, Rabbi Ephraim Ushri. He wrote a 5-volume Hebrew work that was translated into a 1-volume English work, known as Shilos Uchuvos Mimamakim, right? The responsa from the Holocaust. That's the English translation. They are some of the scariest and yet most inspiring tshuvas that were written. So in Shas Tshuvas Mimamakim in Chelak Aleph Sif Tesvav Simon Tesvav, the Rav Ashi quotes the Chafetz Chaim, who says that it's not mutter to say that you're not a Jew. Why? Because he says it's a time of Kiddush Hashem, and it should be pointed out that Rav the Ungvar Rav Rav Menashe Akatan Klein in Chelak Tes of Shas Tshuvas Mishnah Alachos Simon Kuf Ayin, he notes that one can, that may be nice, but you can hold on to false papers, right? False papers is like wearing an outfit, but you can't say that you're a guy. That said, Rabbi Lazar Hadaya, who is the author of the Shal Shetshuvas Yaskil Abdi, in the very first Tshuva in Yeridea, he says in the case of an emergency, a person would be allowed to proceed. The matter is a machlokas. The Gra took the Gra and the Trumas Adeshin took lenient positions. So they said that in a case of emergency, a Jew would be allowed to go ahead and state that he's not to say something that would have a double meaning. So where is there room, just to sum so far? Where is there room to be makel? First of all, there's room to be makel to say nothing, right? Just to give off the impression through the outfit that you wear. Right, we had a profiles in the pandemic when we talk about a Hafking, right? The guy who discovered the solution to the bubonic plague, right? So if you remember when we talked about him. So we said at different points in time he was not allowed into university because he was Jewish, right? But think about that. Think how many people would have died because of that. But he eventually found his way inside. And early in his career, he was not a religious man, but people assumed that he wasn't Jewish because of the fact that he was in the university, right? So certainly, in terms of dressing, he dressed like all the other university professors. That said, that is the Mechaber solution, and certainly one would be allowed to proceed that way. Saying something that has a dual meaning. So that was the Ramah solution. You're not saying I'm not Jewish. What are you saying? I am what I am, what I am. You're saying I believe. You don't know. You don't say I believe in him, right? I believe in him, right? And if they get the wrong impression, that's their problem, not yours. But to say I am a Christian, that would be a problem. That's the second answer. So last week, right before Shabbos in Israel, Rabbi Shalom Rosner, who is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he happens to be the Rav of my brother Shul in Nofei HaShemesh. He's well known for those of you who like to listen to the OU. He's one of the famous Daf Yomi teachers. So he had a shaila that was brought by one of his congregants exactly on this issue. And they took the shaila to Rav Usher Weiss, who said he wasn't feeling so great, but he offered an answer on the recording. And I just want to take the opportunity, if you don't mind, just give me a second. I'm going to bring it up because rarely do I get that opportunity to actually put it up there. And I think people would find, Rav Asher's answer, almost unbelievable, right? If I didn't hear it directly from him, you'd be almost shocked that this is, one of the great gedolim of our day, right? But, he's Rav Asher Weiss. He gets a right to say what he wants to say. And so here we go. I'm just giving one second, and I'm going to play it to you. Here we go. I hope you can hear it. So let's see if we can make sure I crank up the volume.
I wrote a truva, and it explained this entire halacha is only relevant in the Middle Ages when it was about conversion, when it was about your religion. But in this day and age, they hate you because you're Jewish. It has nothing to do with your religion. And it doesn't make a difference to them whether you are from or not from. They just want to hurt you because you're Jewish. This halacha doesn't apply at all. A person can say anything. So we don't need, the psak. Exactly what I do say, what I don't say. This entire halacha is only relevant when the issue was about religion. But if it's not about religion, but just about nationality, then this halacha doesn't apply. And if a person is really afraid, he could say that he's not Jewish. have a beautiful Shabbat Shalom. I'm not feeling that well, so I apologize.
So were you able to hear of Usher, right? Did you hear what he said? Fascinating. He makes another fascinating differentiation. He says, what's the issue? Is the issue religion or nationalism? He says, think about it today. We always debate that question. Who's a Jew? Who's a Jew? Who's a Jew? Who's a Jew? Well, from the outside side, that the issue is one of nationalism. If the anti-Semitism is not really anti-religious Semitism, but rather anti-national Semitism, so then I have to be honest. All of these things that we're concerned about are really of a non-concern. And today, I don't think that's what they're... When they ask you, are you Jewish? They're not trying to figure out if you would be able to be entitled to go ahead and get married in Israel, right? That's not their concern. What their concern is, do you identify with the Jewish people? Because if you do, we're going to beat the stuffing out of you. Why? Because we have a right to go ahead and do so, because that's the way we are, because that's what we do, because that's what we do. And so Rav Asher said, all of these other heterim don't really necessarily apply. So I thought that was a pretty novel idea, no? Sounds like a pretty interesting idea. But lo and behold, as I was doing some research this week, Rav Asher is not the only one who said it. A couple of years ago, an article came out from Rabbi Cheskel Yaakovson, who, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the former Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Chalavim in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote in an article that he felt that this was very clear, that when we're dealing with nationalism versus halachic Judaism, right, then the rules change and the focus changes because the people are changed. And so therefore, he felt also that in these types of situations, we don't need to rely on that heter. So to sum it up again, where as far as being a Jew is concerned, it's important for a person not to hide his religion, right? And a time where religion is under attack. And however one is able to, according to the Mechaber, give off an impression without saying anything. According to the Ramah, give off an impression because of a double entendre. But Rav Asher and Rav Yecheskel Yaakovson say you don't have to go that far. You have a much more simple solution. And what's that? Today, much of anti-Semitism is not really anti-religion. Much of anti-Semitism is racism, right? And it's straight out racism, because if it was about religion and that race, they would be out to only get people who would be halachically Jewish. But in the same form of other races, in these cases, Judaism is a race. And so therefore, those who are anti-Semitic are also racists. And I know that's a very strong statement, but clearly that differentiation is one that needs to be highlighted as well. And how a person handles those situations when it's a question of the Jewish race, that's something that is something we need to pay very close attention to. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu make that only halacha halal. I'm sorry? Doc, can you talk closer to the mic? I can't hear you.
You didn't cover one of the most important things.
And what's that?
I made sure that all the people growing up in my house either took karate or whatever defense needed to be done, because they needed to do. That's a responsibility of every Jewish parent. You can't have your kid just not be in shape, and it's a responsibility. And that issue was not covered as part of the whole thing.
Okay.
I made sure that my son at age 5 took karate, and by the time he was 14 or so, he was a brown belt and all that. These are all important things. Parents need to know. And at that time, everything was very safe. But they need to know, if the time comes, he needs to know how to defend yourself. Period.
Okay.
That wasn't discussed.
Well, it was, and now it was stated. Okay, now it was stated. Okay, folks, the hour's getting late, and some of us are going to be seeing each other before we know it again. So let's stop over here. We'll save the other questions for another point in time. Od chazon lamoed. Everyone have a wonderful, safe, terrific Shabbos, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll start seeing more and more of each other. Be well. Have a good
and
Shabbos.
That's for boys and girls.
Yep. Okay. Have a good
Thank
Shabbos.
You.
Both for boys and girls to not defend themselves.
Duly noted, Doc. Duly noted. Okay.